Sorry, get rid of me so easily. It'll never happen. I may as well haunt you forever. When you look at a situation, never judge it. The mind has been brainwashed, programmed for years to judge whatever you see. You cannot do this. It comes from false imagination. You look at me, you make decisions, what's wrong, what's right, what should be done, what shouldn't be done, what's happening. It's all false judgment. I tell you in truth, nothing ever happens to anyone. No matter how it appears, it's false. No one is born, no one dies. Because no one ever existed. I know this sounds hard to believe. When you look around and see all of the dastardly things going on in this world, with people, and you feel it. You hear or see animals being slaughtered all over the place. Yet, who feels this? To whom does it happen? Really? This is important. Who feels these things? You are the imperishable self, pure consciousness. This is your real nature. How can anything happen to consciousness? Or God? Some of you like the word God. We were brought up to believe there's a God in the sky somewhere doing something, whatever he's doing. How can this God, this consciousness, bring wrong actions to this world? There will be no place to put it. Well, consciousness is all there is. And nothing else. And you are that. In other words, you are the one that has always been, that will always be, that always existed. You are that pure awareness. The boundless space that only knows itself, nothing else. And itself is bliss. Always be aware of this. Catch yourself when you see something wrong. It's the only goodness, the only perfection. It's the only love, peace. Refuse to acknowledge anything else. Life appears to be very short on this earth plane. What you call your life is but a split second in eternity. In other words, you're here today and you're gone tomorrow. That's how it seems. But again, what is here today and what is gone tomorrow? That which never existed to begin with. Is here today and gone tomorrow. Because in truth there are no tomorrows, there are no today. There's nothing. How can there be anything more than nothing? I know some of you do not believe in nothing. You think it's something. But if you're able to really see your body what it really is, it will be all space. Your body is made out of space. With little dots flowing around some points. You are made out of nothing. But you don't believe me, do you? You think you're something. But you're nothing. Zero. Nada. Emptiness. When you begin to realize that you're emptiness, you become free. In other words, to the extent that you feel you're nothing in your emptiness, to that extent that you become free. Do you feel free? You can only feel free when there's nothing going on in your mind. As long as you allow yourself to think, you'll never feel freedom. You can't feel freedom. When the thoughts become things, when the mind is active, it becomes creative in the world and accomplishes all kinds of things. But as we all know, things change constantly, consistently. So as we grow spiritually, we can no longer use the mind to create things for us. We use the mind to destroy itself. When the mind is destroyed, that which was a silent witness of itself becomes yourself. In other words, that which is beyond all phenomena is you, yourself. You are that witness, the observer. It is you. No one else but you. You must become fearless. You must observe things without observing. How do you observe something without observing? You look, you see, you touch, you feel, you smell, but there's no reaction. Like watching a movie. You observe the movie, you watch the movie, but something inside tells you you're not the movie. You're still watching the movie, enjoying the movie, crying with the movie, laughing with the movie, but you're not the movie. So this is life. Observe life unfolding. Look at life doing its thing. Sometimes it says this thing to you. But you have to observe it also. You never become lost in the material situation. And never allow the relative world to dictate to you. To make you think something like this or something like that. And never be frightened by the world and its manifestations. They're all dreams, hallucinations. But you must experience this for yourself. You experience this by yourself, how? By surrendering everything to the self? Or by practicing self-inquiry? For some people, it's easy to surrender, to let go of everything. Surrender leads to self-inquiry. Automatically, when you get everything up in your mind, something answers you, something tells you the sign. Who gives it up? It comes by itself. When you surrender. It'll happen by itself. Don't be afraid to let go. You'll never be alone. The universe is your friend. And will always take care of you. If you do your part first. That is to surrender and allow the universe to take care of you. It's like the story of the man who went to a cave. And he felt a beautiful breeze coming from the cave. He wanted to find the source of the beautiful breeze. It was a fat man, he weighed about 400 pounds. There was a tiny hole in the cave, he couldn't get through. He was so enamored by the breeze and its fragrance. This is how to find out the source of the fragrance. Someone on the side, the most white, twin teeth, and soaking the squeeze through. So he gave up everything. He gave up his job, his home, his family. The only thought in his mind was, I've got to find some of those breeze that smells and feels so beautiful. He wouldn't need it all. He was determined to find the scent of the breeze. He finally got down to a skeleton. And he shot his head through the hole in the cave. And after his body got stuck. He couldn't go in or out. Finally he gave up. He said, I've done all I can. There's nothing I can do. Then the self pulled him through the hole. And became self-enlightened, self-realized. What this story means to us is when we stop fighting so much, stop trying to change things, stop trying to make things happen, and we let go, depending on God, on consciousness, on the absolute reality, then God will put it through. In other words, it becomes self-realized. But as long as you rely on one person, place, or thing, then you're alone fighting the battles. This is why true spirituality is not for everyone. For most people are not ready yet to let go of everything. They still want to hold on to things. So get involved with spirituality from so pure. You become involved in various meditations, pranayamas, kundalini, tantra. Not realizing that all these things come from the mind. They're all mental things. And it will never lead you to self-realization. It will only increase the size of your ego. So the truth of spiritual life is very easy. You just need to surrender, let go of everything. Take refuge in the Buddha, or the Self, or consciousness, whatever you'd like to call it. It's all names. And you take refuge in this by not allowing the world to make you feel anything. As long as this world makes you feel something, good or bad, you're worldly, and you have battles to fight. But when good and bad never impress you again, then you're free. Only you can make this choice. Do not look for reality when things are getting abandoned in life. There are many people who search for truth only when they get become sick or broke or mad at the world or his finances. Then they search for truth. If they get what they want, they feel all about it and go out and have a good time. But remember, things will change, as they always do. And you have so much time in your body, so-called, in this life. You may be called to get up your body tomorrow, or next week, or next month, you never know. Who will be there without a body? Will feel naked? Will be lost? So we're catching everybody's occasions and involved with. And it goes through many, many bodies. Because you're attached to the world and its manifestations. So the secret of awakening. Just let go of everything, let go. Drop everything. All of your conceited ideas, all of your dogmas, all of your rituals, everything you've been holding on to, drop it and be free. You don't hold on to anything. Always question your mind. Whatever the mind tells you, ask who's going through this, who's this coming to. To me, who am I? Who's the I that's experiencing these things? Always work on yourself. Remember to do this every day. Catch yourself daily. It's best to begin when you get up in the morning. If you begin to catch yourself in the morning, you'll catch yourself all day long. When you say catch yourself, I mean catch yourself thinking. Catch yourself reacting, judging. Only in the silence will you find reality. Self-inquiry leads to silence. Surrender leads to silence. Be still and know that I am God. I will never leave you nor forsake you. In this case, the I is consciousness. Absolute reality. I am that I am. This is the only refuge you've got. You can't take refuge in this world because it changes the world's reality. Only in the self can you take refuge, in the I am. Be not afraid as I. I is your mother, your father, your brother, your sister, your friend. I is the self. In order to find this I, you have to bring a little I back from your brain to the heart center on the right side of the chest. This is the spiritual centers on the right side of the chest. You can follow it in the morning, it takes a split second. When you're sleeping, the eye goes back into the heart center. And rest. And that time no longer wears this world, you're in deep sleep. As soon as you wake up, a split second, the eye runs back into the mind, the brain. Then you become aware that you're a body, and there's a world, there are people, places, and things. It is the eye that makes you become cognizant of these. So the secret is to make the eye go back into the heart and awaken. You're awakened. You're awakened state. This is what is called self-realization. When the eye saw the body and the heart, then you go beyond phenomena. When the average person, the eye saw stays in the brain, and of course, it's a belief that you're a body, mind, phenomena. Try catching it tomorrow morning. As soon as you open your eyes, before you have a chance to think, observe the eye. Running from the heart center to the brain. You can also catch when you go to sleep. Just before you fall asleep, you become very peaceful, don't you? You feel all about your problems, the world. You fall into a deep sleep. But the reason you forget about these things when you're sleeping is because the action goes from the brain to the heart. If that didn't happen, you'd be worrying all day long. Oh, that's long, man, when you're sleeping. The worldly problems are going to leave you. And you're asleep. So the only reason the world leaves you is because the eye thought is taking refuge in the heart. Follow the eye thought. See where he's going, what he says. And if you do that, you will soon discover that there never was an I thought. There was only the self. And you are that. Peace. Feel free to ask any questions. Feel free to say something. Anything.
Well, Babaji said, don't be afraid to die. As far as I know the truth, I don't care if this body doesn't get up off this chair and it's male still age. And if that's the truth, it's annoying. I have some insight there, but surfing inquiry, what happens is that when there are thoughts and somebody asks, from whom does it come? And I can't say I, because there is no personal I that has thoughts or doesn't have thoughts. So then sometimes I go and ask, well, what's the source of these thoughts, or what's the source of the I thought, or what's the source of the thought I? And other times I ask, well, is there an I that has thoughts? And then if I'm going to certain drive, like, who am I? But often I can't go directly because there is no I.
Mm.
And then I kind of pretend, well, maybe there is an I. And then I can ask, who am I?
Mm.
Like I'm sitting in this chair, not in this chair, or in this chair, and far in between. I kind of got a jury which way I'm going to go. And maybe it doesn't matter.
First of all, if you gave up your body right now, a reason why we have to get rid of it. She has a brand new fireplace.
It's okay. It's miserable here, buddy.
It causes a lot of trouble.
Not my problem.
It's your carcass.
So what?
You
want a knife?
We don't want any carcasses in this house.
It's worth as much as I can't deliver worst.
All is well, friend. Doing the right practice, that's a good practice. Keep practicing the way you're going.
When one has been an observer mode into your higher self and achieves enlightenment, can you explain the bodhisattva concept?
The bodhisattva will not become enlightened until the whole world becomes enlightened. They turn back from complete enlightenment. So this is still the mind doing these things. When the mind is slowly destroyed, there's no bodhisattva. Bodhisattva is part of the mind. So that concept has to go also. Every idea, every belief, every concept has to go. All spiritual teachings have to go. So it becomes totally free. There can't be an inkling of spiritual teaching left. Yet the spiritual teachings were important in the beginning. and it puts you where you are now. Sometimes you have to get rid of them. It sounds so strange for you as many people have been practicing spiritual sadness of various kinds. And then you have to get them all up in the end. But for the average person, you should get them up. The average person has to get to that place where they can't get them up. You have to do them so you can give them up. But if there's nothing, there's nothing to give up. So everything is important. Becoming a bodhisattva is important. Once you reach that stage, you have to give it up. But there's no longer anything to hold on to whatsoever. You can no longer lean on the Buddha. You no longer reach the Sangha and lean on it and take refuge in it. You must get to the stage where there's nothing to take refuge in. Destroy everything in the way. Everything has to go. Then reality will come. That's only good. But as long as you abide in any kind of spiritual teaching, you may get good feelings. You may get a blissful feeling sometime. But you can't become free. In order to attain moksha liberation, every teaching must go. Even self-inquiry. It all has to go. Self-inquiry is a method that gets to the stage where you can give it up.
Being inside the cave? Yes.
Reality, self-realization. But he couldn't get through because he didn't surrender. He was trying to do it by himself. Saying if he dies, if he loses weight, if he gives up this, if he gives up that. A total surrender. The self will push you into the heart center. The cave is the heart center. The spiritual heart and right side of the chest. You can't enter by yourself. You only go so far. But when you become something unattached, stop using the ego to get things, to do things. And you just sort of give up and surrender totally, completely. Then the self grabs you, pulls you into the heart, and you become free. So the analogy of the cave is the heart.
achieving liberation. What is the relationship between grace and your effort?
Grace and effort? I love the boss.
In
the beginning, you use effort. Because you practice self-inquiry, you practice surrender. When you've gone far enough, grace takes over. Grace is another symbol for the self. The self is grace. And grace pulls you in. But grace comes when you make effort. It's sort of a contradiction. Lost spirituality is contradictions. You have to make the effort and you have to give up the effort. This is why in this Veda, it's really for people who've had special experiences and practicing sadness for many years and former lives. On the last stage, then grace comes. But you're still quarreling with the world, you're still quarreling with yourself, you're still personal problems, you're still thinking your body is important, or your fears are important, or this is important, that's important. It's virtually impossible to have grace. Well, it's only gross and ego. When you stop worrying what's going to happen to me tomorrow, I'm not happy unless I do this or do that. And grace can come. It only comes when you give up everything. You have a sort of carefree attitude. Not my will, but thine. You give up your personal will, personal power. But that's not a weakness, it's a strengthness. Many people think you become very weak or passive. No, you don't. You become very strong. Well, the world can no longer hurt you. There's no fear no longer. You realize who you are, what you are. And you're at peace, which is something everybody else. So grace and the self are one. That's a good question. A jnani or a sage becomes a teacher without any desire of being a teacher. In my own case, I didn't ask to be a teacher. It just happens wherever I go, people gather around me for some reason. I never sent for them. I never asked them anything. Just come. So I'm not thinking about it, so I didn't talk, in that sense.
Would you call it like a high indifference?
Excuse me?
Would you call that a high indifference?
Did I call it what?
A high indifference.
A high difference?
High indifference.
Indifference.
Oh, high indifference. Yes, you can if you like, call it what you like. There are really very few yanis, real yanis. We're sages of teach. But some of them do. To balance that. To make certain people realize they're on the right path. But having that naturally by itself. There's no effort in it. In other words, that's why I saw the larger movement. If I advertised, if I wrote books, if I went on TV, if I went on the radio, had seminars, thinking there's something wrong there. There's absolutely nothing.
Because you have non-attachment. You still do these things, but it's your non-attachment in the mind.
You can say that. You can say anything you like.
Several people mentioned to me that they have a problem with Advaita Vedanta.
A problem
in the context that they are trying to convince themselves that yes, this is just a dream, this is an illusion. And yet, in their actual experience, they still experience anxiety and worry and anger and whatever. So there is kind of split. Intellectually, you are trying to say yourself, this is just a dream. While actually you're experiencing worry and anxiety.
Of course. And it's a suffering. So the words that you speak make a difference. Not the words that you speak, it's the other words and thoughts. So when you stop speaking, then you keep still. You stop saying it's a dream. Once you talk, the better off you are. You become still and go deep inside. Go deeper and deeper inside. Dive deeper than you've ever gone before. Feel something will touch you. And then let your ego. So the words that you speak doesn't matter. Your intellect doesn't matter. Be still. When you practice self-inquiry, have no emotional reason for practicing it. Just do it. Don't think about it. Do not think it's going to take you somewhere to do something for you, or what's going to happen. Just do it. And be still. Then anything will happen with some accord. It's good to know it's all a dream. Like you say, when you're suffering, that can be a dream. So if you're suffering with anger and anxiety, you have to work with those things, like inquiring when this has come. Who experiences these things? I do. Where's the source of the I? Where did I come from? What experience of those things? And you separate yourself from the I, the small I. Realizing the I question is that me. I'm not the I. I keep silent. And everything will take care of itself. Mary, would you read any?
For a yogi who has realized the identity of his inner being, with the infinite Brahman, there is no rebirth, no migration, not even liberation, for he is already liberated. He has firmly established in an experience of the absolute existence, knowledge, bliss, the Satchitananda Atman. The continued existence of the world and of his own body appears to the Yani only as an illusion, the appearance of which he cannot remove, but which cannot further deceive him till the time when, after the decease of the body, he wanders not forth, but remains where he is and what he is and eternally was, the first principle of all beings and things, the original, eternal, pure, free Brahman. While living, and even when the body falls dead, the Yani rests in his own essential nature, his own Svarupa, that is all full, all pure, timeless consciousness and bliss. The following assertions made by a Yani constitute his own deepest convictions and experience. I am infinite, imperishable, self-luminous, self-existent. I am beginningless, endless, decayless, birthless, deathless. Never was I born. I am ever free, perfect, independent. I alone am. I pervade the entire universe. I am all permeating and interpenetrating. I am supreme peace and freedom, absolute. A Yani lives forever. He has attained life everlasting. Cravings torture him not. Sins stain him not. Birth and death touch him not. He is free from all cravings and longings. He ever rests in his own Satchitananda Svarupa. He sees the one infinite self in all, and all in the infinite self which is his being. He remains forever as the infinite self of consciousness and delight.
Thank you, ma'am. Any announcements?
How do you surrender?
What you doing right now? Being silent. You're paying attention to your thoughts. So you're doing it. Keep it up every day. Every day is just a half hour in the morning, a half hour in the evening by yourself. Don't meditate more than a half hour. Sit by yourself and watch your thoughts like you're doing now. Don't react to them. Not react to thoughts. Whatever comes to your mind, never react. Just watch. Smile. And you surrender it. As the source comes, the source comes to you. You no longer pay attention to it, it doesn't bother you. That's surrendering. The next thought comes to you, you don't pay attention to it. It doesn't frighten you, it doesn't make you happy, it doesn't make you sad. Just watch it and it'll go away. You surrender that thought. You keep it up, you keep it up. And as you keep it up, your mind will become calmer and calmer and calmer and quieter and quieter and quieter. Until the mind absorbs itself in the heart, it will be free. This is it.